Amen. Let me point your attention to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. This morning is going to be a little different than other mornings because I'm not going to be preaching exegetically through a text as much as I'm going to be talking about the future, talking about what I'm calling family values. And so as you turn in your Bibles to John 17, I promise we will get there eventually. Every family has their own family values, their own rules, their own culture. Have you ever spent the night at a friend's house and you were the first one to wake up the next morning? Isn't that one of the most awkward things in the world? Because you don't know whether they're comfortable with you just going to the living room and turning the TV on. You don't know if they want to be woken up. You don't know anything. And so you're sitting there in your sleeping bag, laying there thinking, it's 6 o'clock in the morning and I have no idea when everybody else is going to be awake. In the same way, doesn't it feel that same sort of awkwardness when you come to a new church? You don't know what they're all about. You don't really know what they value. Sure, you see what's on the page and you get a feel for people slowly on that first day. So as the new guy, I'll freely admit to you that this question has been filling my head repeatedly over the last 9 months, and it's simply this. What is Calvary Bible Church all about? What are our family values? What is our heartbeat? What is our culture? What is our calling, both in Hanover and in the world? Now, one more thing I need to say before we go any further, and that is this, that you'll understand that preaching about a mission or a vision statement is not my ordinary approach to preaching. I am an expository preacher. I love preaching through texts. And also know, so give me some grace, and also know that the things that we'll talk about this morning, the elders have been working on this statement for a while, even before I got here. So understand that I'll be focusing on this statement as a shared conviction of the leadership team. Full disclosure, I have tweaked a couple of words here and there in order to translate it from a document to a sermon. So I guess what I'm saying is this. Whatever you love this morning is me. And whatever you hate, blame the elders. All right. So what are we trying to accomplish this morning? We're trying to get an understanding, a vision, a clarity on our family values. That is, what are the things that we as Calvary Bible Church are going to focus on, are going to lift up, are going to give our attentions to? We are first of all trying to set a tone. Let me ask you this. How do you reply when somebody asks you this? Where do you go to church? And you say, I go to Calvary Bible Church. And they respond then by saying this. Oh yeah, well what kind of church is that? Well, maybe you say something like this, we're kind of like Baptists, or we're kind of like whatevers. It's hard to describe what our church is. Well, over the next, both this morning and next Sunday, we'll be hoping to give you a little bit more specific things to say. The five things that we'll focus on. But we're trying to set a tone. What is Calvary Bible Church all about? Secondly, we're trying to set a course. Where are we going? I would love to tell you that everything will be back to normal soon, but I don't know that. I don't even know what normal is. Let's be honest, I barely knew what the old normal was. I was here only a few months before COVID hit, and now everything's different. I told people I thought it would take me years to empty this church. But it only took a couple of months. Take that, my professors in seminary. I don't know what the new normal is going to be. I'm not totally convinced I understood what the old normal was. So we need to set a course. What will we be in the future? What will we be going forward? What will be the values that we cling to? What sort of things are temporal? What sort of things are changeable? What sort of things are adaptable? And on the other hand, what sorts of things are eternal, unchangeable, and foundational? What are the things without which Calvary Bible Church will lose its identity? So, what does the CBC of the future look like? What does it believe? What do we cling to? What will we teach? What will we celebrate? Etc. Now, the next question that I want you to see is this: why should I care? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Why should I care? Just do whatever. I'm here. You might be thinking that. I hope you're not. Well, if you are new, like me, this orients us to what CBC is trying to be and trying to do. This clarifies for us what CBC is meant to emphasize. And if you've been coming here for a long time, the series then is intended to stir you by way of reminder and to communicate how every part of CBC's ministry contributes to the whole. We must care because God has entrusted this ministry to us. Well, then what will be our approach? This morning, we'll focus more on the big picture and begin to get into some of the specifics. Next week, we'll talk more about the practical aspects of this family values. So this week, we'll talk more about the doctrinal basis. Next week, we'll get more into the practical basis. Now, before I go any further, one more clarification. I believe that all doctrine is practical. I also believe that all church practice is doctrinal. So there's a little bit of a shift that we'll see next week when we're talking more about the everyday things. This morning we'll focus on the higher up things. So then let's get to then what our motto will be. To know Him and make Him known. That, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, is why you exist. To know Him and to make Him known. It was said a long time ago by others that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That is why you exist. To know Him and make Him known. Similarly, that is why Calvary Bible Church has been called to exist. To know Him and to make Him known. And we draw this from John chapter 17. Would you look with me please in verse 1 where it says this: Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up His eyes to heaven, He said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You, even as You gave Him authority over all flesh, that to all whom You have given Him, He may give eternal life." Now, what does He mean by this? Verse 3 tells us, "This is eternal life, that they might know You, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." That is the purpose for the death of Jesus Christ. That we may know Him and make Him known. Let me ask you this. Does the church exist for discipleship or evangelism? Answer: yes. It's a trick question. To know Him in discipleship, worship, and to make Him known in evangelism. That's why we exist. So if somebody comes up to you and says, what's Calvary Bible Church all about? You can answer by saying this: they exist, we exist to know God and to make him known to others. So let's talk about this just a little bit. What does it mean to know God? What does it mean to know God? It means that discipleship is our purpose. Our heartfelt desire must be to know him, that is, to know him experientially, not simply intellectually, but to walk with him, to know him, to be related to him. In the Bible, the word know connotes a lot more than simple head knowledge. It implies relationship. And so when we say that our desire and our purpose is to know God, it's not simply to fill our head with awesome doctrinal facts. But more than that, it is by means of those doctrinal facts to be ushered into the presence of God himself experientially. Discipleship and worship is our purpose. This is true of every individual. This is true of the congregation as a whole. Knowing God must be diligently pursued, and as diligently pursued as bringing others to him. I was in a church meeting years and years ago where a cluster of local churches came together to sing and to pray and to preach. And I was not the preacher on that given night. And I remember that the person who did preach said this. He said, "Isn't it great there are still unbelievers in the world?" And he said, "Because if there were no unbelievers, there would be no purpose for a church." And then he closed. Now, unfortunately, it was my job to then get up and close in prayer. And have you ever felt the awkwardness of realizing you just had to correct somebody? Now, some people love it. I don't. That doesn't make me happy. I prefer just using them as sermon illustrations later. But I got up and I felt compelled as I prayed to say to God and to the people there, even if there were no unbelievers left, the church would still exist. Why? Because our mission is not only to reach others. Our mission is also to reach up and to know him. So then, what does it mean then to know him? It means that discipleship is our purpose, that relationship is our pursuit, that submission is our posture. You know what I would love? I would love this. Let's say you're in the grocery store. Somebody comes up to you and says, "Where do you go to church?" And you say, "Calvary Bible Church." And they go, "Well, what is that church all about?" And you say this: "Calvary Bible Church is a place where God is pursued, where a relationship with God is pursued, and submission to him is our posture." And reverence then becomes our perspective. Wouldn't it be great to be the church in Hanover, Pennsylvania, where people can say this: God is there. And the people know him, and they love him, and they talk to him, and they follow him, and they obey him, and they share him, and he is there. We exist to know him and make him known. In John 17, would you please look with me at verse 18? Jesus said this: "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." Why, Jesus? Why are we sent into the world? Why are there missionaries on the walls out there? The pictures, that is. Why do we celebrate people going a half a world away to celebrate and share the gospel? Why? Verse 19. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. Jesus prays not only for us, but for the ones we will reach. And he goes on to say this, that they may be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you've given to me, I've given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. Verse 23, that in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. Why? So that the world, look at this, may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus says, and he prays that the disciples would know him and then through them make him known. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. That's why Calvary Bible Church is open. To know him and to make him known. So then let's get to our family values. And here are our family values: the cross, the Bible, the body, the neighbors, and worship. Now this morning we're going to talk about the first two of these. We'll leave the next three for next week. These are the things that we focus on. And so the first thing we'll see is this: by the grace of God, Calvary Bible Church aspires to be a people who make the cross central in all we do. The cross is central to all we do. That's why we're called Calvary Bible Church. Because our focus is on what happened at Calvary. Now, you may be new this morning. That's awesome. If this is your first Sunday and you're thinking, what on earth does this church focus on? Let me help you. We focus on God in terms of relationship, to know him, to make him known. But we also, in doing that, focus on the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. When we say this, the cross is central, we're not talking about the wood that was put together to make the cross. Okay, we're not talking about that. We're talking about what happened on the cross. That is, that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life and then was nailed to the cross as a sacrifice for your sins. What we mean to say is that the death, burial, and resurrection, the sacrificial work of Christ, is something that we will give great emphasis upon. In fact, the new statement says this. I love this. I don't know who came up with this. I love this. God's majesty, holiness, wrath, and justice meet his grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness at the cross. In 2020, my theme for preaching has been, he is, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. This encapsulates what he is. He is majestic. He is holy. He is angry. He is just. But he's gracious, loving, merciful, and forgiving. And all of those things come together at the cross. In fact, in Romans 3, verses 25 through 26, beloved, we find this, that Jesus is referred to as one whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So this first point here simply means this: the cross embodies everything that God is. That he is unwavering in his holiness and unrelenting in his graciousness. It comes together there. Secondly, the cross is the power of God to those who are being saved. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this: "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Let me ask you this. Have you ever known an unbeliever who had a cross necklace? Sure, we all have. It's a very popular piece of jewelry. Have you ever, back in the day, seen an unbeliever with a Jesus fish on his car? And you know he's an unbeliever because all the other bumper stickers don't match? See, to some people, the cross is a beautiful thing to hang around your neck. But to us, it was a horrible thing where the Son of Man was hung to death. And yet we honor it. And yet we appreciate it. And yet we celebrate it more than they do. It is the means by which we are saved. Now, to unbelievers, this idea that somebody could die in our place is silly. But to us, it is the power of God. The next point we see is that through the cross, Jesus reconciled all things to himself. We talked about this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. "And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." The cross is the reason why we daily die to sin and live to righteousness. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says this: "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." Without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of our efforts are meaningless. What does this mean? This means that our very best is not good enough. It's not perfect. But the one who died on the cross for us is perfect. He is good enough. So then these points lead us to this exhortation: therefore, we want the person and work of Jesus Christ to be at the center of our thinking, the center of our ministry, the center of our very lives. That's why the church is called Calvary Bible Church. Because of this, we must always keep sin clearly in focus. The cross is the remedy for our sin. Because of this, we must be unashamedly focused on Jesus. He is the substitute for our sin. And because of this, we must battle our pride. Calvary Bible Church is not a place where perfect Christians come. Calvary Bible Church is all about the cross of Jesus Christ, where imperfect people, sinful people, are made justified in God's sight. Calvary Bible Church then will not be and is not a fraternity of the perfect. It is a community of the desperate. A community of the desperate. By the grace of God, Calvary Bible Church aspires to be a place where the cross is central. Secondly, by the grace of God, Calvary Bible Church aspires to be a people who celebrate the Bible, diligently studying it and applying it to everyday life. Would you turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting in verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, we find that biblical Christianity is just that, a commitment to the Bible. A commitment to not only reading it, not only knowing it and understanding it in our brains, but celebrating it, loving it, and clinging to it. In verse 14, you'll find this. You, however, 2 Timothy 3, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Paul is telling Timothy, don't forget the sacred writings. Love them, cherish them, celebrate them. And then in verse 16, he elaborates on that by saying, all Scripture is inspired by God, that is, breathed out by God. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Well, the statement then of our mission / vision says this: the Bible is more than a book. It is the very words of God. It is the words of God. Secondly, the Bible is to be celebrated and magnified and studied with reverence and care. See, in a lot of churches, the Bible's kind of like the national anthem at a baseball game. You hear it at first, but the rest of the time it doesn't really impact anything. We can't be like that. We must focus on the Bible not only out of a cold-hearted duty, but more out of an absolute joy in celebrating the Word of God. The Bible is to be celebrated with reverence and care. Third thing we need to keep in mind under this heading is this, that the Bible is true and gives us everything we need for life and godliness. It tells us the only way to know God and to live for Him. If we are to know God and make Him known, we must know the Bible. We must give ourselves to the study of it, to the preaching of it, to the memorization of it, to the celebration of it. That's why we're Calvary Bible Church. Bible is our middle name. And so then it leads us to this great exhortation. It says, therefore, we want to delight in the Bible, magnify it, study it, meditate on it, obey its commands, and apply its principles to everyday life. If you're taking notes, friends, jot this down. Psalm 119:24 says this, your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. In Psalm 119:47, it says, I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. Psalm 119:103 says this, how sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And so on. We're called to delight in it, to magnify it, to study it. Psalm 119:99 through 100 says this, I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I've observed your precepts. And we also need to obey it and to apply it. Psalm 119:101 to 102 says this, I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. Calvary Bible Church then must be and will be a place and a congregation in which the Bible is understood to be the Word of God. We will submit to its authority, delight in its beauty, and carry its message to others. So as we close, let's ask this question. What does this call us to? What does this call us to? First of all, friends, please pray for the leadership of Calvary Bible Church. Pray that we hold to these things. Pray then that these things are true of us, Don't assume, don't take for granted that they are. Pray for us that the cross is central in all of the decisions that need to be made, that the Bible is celebrated in all the questions that must be answered. Not that we would force ourselves to resist or to submit to these things, but that we would be unable to resist them. That it would be in our nature to hold high the Word of God and focus on the sacrificial merit of Jesus Christ. Secondly, please pray that we hold up under the pressures of modern church ministry and leadership. There are temptations to stray from these things, to begin to think of the church as an organization, as a business. Pray for us that we would never lose that. Also, pray for us that we would hold each other up as brothers and partners in this cause. Pray for the leadership of Calvary Bible Church. Secondly, pray for the people of Calvary Bible Church. Pray that the sheep wouldn't wander due to the pressures and fears we're all facing. And pray that the sheep would not fester in petty squabbles and disagreements. And thirdly, pray for the future of Calvary Bible Church, that we would know Him more deeply, both individually and corporately, that we would share Him more faithfully, both individually and corporately, that we would cherish the cross more passionately, both individually and corporately, and that we would celebrate the Bible more individually and corporately. It has been and is a great pleasure to be here and to preach the Word of God to you. And I hope that this week and next week is a time that we can look back on in future years as saying, all right, here's where we set a tone. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what the church is, what you've called us to be and to do. Thank you for what it has been. Thank you for the values that it has cherished over the length of its life here in Hanover. Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning for whom these things may seem new and strange, that you would work in their heart, draw them to you by the magnificence of the cross. Show them that to know you is their highest aim and their deepest joy. And if they don't have it yet, that it is available to them for free. If there's someone here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, would you please move in their hearts a conviction that your word is true and that it's wonderful. And that, Lord, you would show them that the answers that they seek and ask are to be found within the 66 books that you've given us, the very breath of God. Lord, I pray for the leadership of Calvary Bible Church, that we would be able to set a course, to set a tone, to set a direction. And by means of that, to discern what ministries are to be fostered and what ministries may need to be paused or eliminated. I pray that you would arm us with gentle, kind hearts, full of conviction that your word is true and authoritative. Lord, I pray for the people of Calvary Bible Church, that they would not be drawn here simply because of external things, like maybe it's close to their house or something like that, but that they would be drawn here because your word is elevated, magnified, preached, sung, and taught. I pray that as we disciple one another, that we would know you more. And Lord, I pray that in all these things, you would resound to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.